Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Buer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on in our study of the book of Luke, a series we're calling Labels. And we were looking at Luke chapter 18 and specifically at the story of Jesus and the rich young ruler. It's a story in Luke, it just calls him a ruler, but we know from Matthew and Mark, who have told the same story, that he was rich, he's young, he's a ruler. In essence, he's kind of got everything going for him. He's also moral. He comes to Jesus and he genuinely seems to want to know, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus walks him through, you know, hey, these are the commandments. He specifically focuses on the kind of second half of the commandments, on the loving your neighbor and as yourself. And the young man says, I've done all those things. And so he seems like this great candidate for getting into the kingdom of God, right? And Jesus looks at him, and Mark tells us that he loves him, and that, which is just an interesting statement, that Mark kind of goes out of his way to say that Jesus looked at this rich young man and he loves him. And I kind of imagine Jesus almost like peering into his soul. Like he looks at him and he sees what's going on inside this man's heart. And he says, one thing you lack, go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, and then come follow me and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then you'll have the true riches, right? You'll have salvation, eternal life. Go give up everything you have materially, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. And it says the young man became very sad. And ultimately, from what we can tell, it seems that he walks away because he had great wealth. And Jesus goes on to talk about how difficult it is for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of heaven. The disciples, the people around him, are like, well, then who gets in? You know, if the wealthy who are blessed, you know, in their culture, that's why I say this man seemed like a good candidate for getting into the kingdom of God. From their perspective, at this time, it was like, look, you know, being rich means that you are loved by God and you're blessed by him. And, you know, so if you're a good, moral, rich person, I mean, clearly you're going to get into the kingdom. And here Jesus is saying, no, he's not getting into the kingdom. And they're like, well, then who can be saved? And I think that's kind of the point, is that Jesus says with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Grace is a gift. We can't, by our own effort, work our way into the kingdom. We fall utterly short. We need the grace of God. But in order for us to receive the grace of God, that comes through faith. And for us to truly have faith, there can't be anyone else or anything else occupying the throne of our heart. If we're going to place our faith in the Lordship of in Jesus and in his Lordship, when we say, you know, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior and also what? Your Lord. There can't be someone or something else sitting on the throne of your heart. That's the illustration or the sort of picture I gave to people on Sunday. Is I said, man, everybody's got a throne in their heart. And I say that, you know, earlier in Luke 16, Jesus teaching on money once again says, man, you can't serve both God and money. You cannot have two masters. And that idea of master, right, is like you're serving this person. This thing is king in your life. There is a throne in the heart of every person. And that's Jesus's rightful place. God is the one who created us. The first commandment is to love God, right? To have no other gods before him. The first commandment is, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. The most important commandment, Jesus says, is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor then as yourself. And so he's kind of showing the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler thinks, I've kept all the commandments. And Jesus is like, man, you violated the very first one. You have another God before me, and that God is money. That money is sitting on the throne of your life, on the throne of your heart. It's in my seat, and it needs to get out. You need to take it off of the throne. Let me take my rightful place in your life. Submit your life to me. And what's wonderful is Jesus is not saying, hey, you're going to lose in the end, right? I know it's tough, but just, you know, suck it up. He's like, no, you're going to gain. Go give up, sell this stuff. Take money off the throne of your life, and you're going to gain true riches. And we talked through, you know, I don't think Jesus is saying to every person, in order to get into heaven, you quite literally need to go sell all of your possessions. That may be true for some of us if it has that much of a hold on us. That's what was going on in this man's life. He had an idolatry problem. Money was his God. And the application is for all of us, there cannot be something else, someone or something else sitting on the throne of our life. We can't be followers of Jesus if we're saying, no, this really is the thing that I'm going to be devoted to, that I'm going to sacrifice for. This is the thing that's going to stir my greatest affections. We can't be in the kingdom and not have the king on the throne, have the wrong king on the throne. We can't have something else competing with Jesus sitting on the throne. Jesus says, no, I have to be on the throne of your life. And when you turn from sin and you trust me and you say, Jesus, come take your rightful place in my life. What's wonderful is he says, man, anyone who has given up father, mother, brothers, sisters, wife, for the sake of the kingdom, he says that there at the end. He says, if when you give up other things and you put those things second, right, you look at everyone else and everything else in your life and say, no, the Lord is first. He says you gain, right, both in this life and in the life to come. Nobody loses in Christ when we, quote unquote, lose everything and gain Christ. We win. So I want to give us some time to pray, and specifically, I kind of led us through this time on Sunday. I just want you to pray and reflect right now. I'm going to pray for you, but then I encourage you to take some time to pray and just ask the Lord, kind of do some heart searching of, Lord, is there anything in my life that is competing with you for my affections? Anything that I've placed on the throne of my life or that I'm tempted to do so, give that up to the Lord today and say, Lord Jesus, I want you and you alone to be Lord and Savior, because you and you alone are Lord and Savior. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we love you. And God, I ask that we would not be blinded as the rich young ruler was. He couldn't see your love for him. He couldn't see past his love of money, what he was missing out on. It's one of the saddest moments in Scripture, Father, is to see this young man walk away from the offer of eternal life because he was so attached to his wealth. God, may that not be true of any of us. May we see you for who you are and for how glorious you are, for the way you've loved us through the life and death and resurrection, Father, of your Son, sending Jesus in our place. God, may we give up everything else that we might gain you. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Take some time now to pray for yourself.